Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Welcome back. It is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. My happy place and a great place for you to stop by this weekend if you are heading down to Wildwood. And swing by the Grand Hotel, check it out, find out about their great packages coming up from now till December 18th. They have their midweek specials and their weekend getaway packages as well at the Grand Hotel. GrandHotelCapeMay.com is where you go. Bill D'Agostino is with us from the Media Research Center. He's on X at @band_Bill, and he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Bill, it's been a minute. How you doing, my man?
Doing great, man. I missed you last week, but your stand-in fella took good care of me. It was fun talking to a fellow New Yorker who was familiar with the D'Agostino grocery chain.
Are you related to the D'Agostino grocery chain?
I'm not, but it was, I think he might have won a prize. I'm pretty sure it was close to the millionth time I've been asked it. So mm-hmm. it was a throwback, though, because nobody in Virginia asks me that.
No. But, no, and that's what, Katsimides? Is he the guy that owns that chain?
You know, I should know that. I should really know that. I have no idea, actually. I mean, again, no relation, though. But they did mix up my medical records with another William D'Agostino, though, when I was a little kid. Because he was from the family, like the D'Agostino chain family. And, they gave me penicillin. But I'm good. I'm all good. So.
Too bad they didn't mix up the bank records. You would have a lot more money.
That would have been fun. Yeah. Yeah, that would have been fun. Although, maybe they did, and I'm just not telling anybody about it on national radio, right?
Good point. Well, Bill, it's great to have you, and we got a bunch of things to talk about. So, Jay Jones, give us the background
great
about
guy.
This guy. Yeah, great guy. Tell us about this guy in Virginia, and then the latest is what happened with his, what was it? He was driving 116 miles an hour?
Yeah, I think that's down to the single digit. I think you're right there. Yeah, he is. He cannot get a break. He is having a very bad month. Although I would say it's basically all his own doing.
Yeah.
The man is running to be the AG in the great Commonwealth of Virginia where I live. And the reason he's in the news right now, like nationally, is because how long ago was this at this point? Like a week ago that those texts surfaced?
Yeah.
Where he's saying he's referencing a line from The Office, but he does not seem to be saying it in jest. He says that if it was between what Hitler, Pol Pot and a Republican competitor of his, he would shoot the Republican twice if he only had two bullets. That's pretty strong verbiage. Of course, the text messages themselves were actually, like, the way that the conversation took place was basically the most incriminating thing. There is zero plausible deniability, because at one point, the person that he's talking to actually says, Jay Jones, stop it, right? So he can't say that it wasn't him. And then also, he starts talking about how he hopes to see his Republican competitors' children die, and he says that's how they move on policy, and the person says stop, and he says, well, look, I've said this before, that's the only way that you get people to move on policy. So not only do we definitely know it's him, but he's apparently, this is not the first time he said something like this. So he seems to just be a treat all the time, 24/7.
And then the other issue with this, too, is that you've got a lot of people who were defending it by saying it was a private conversation. But the part of this that I don't think people realize is he was saying all this to a Republican. Like, what kind of an idiot does that? It's one thing to make these kind of, we'll call them jokes if they're jokes, to a Democrat, but you're making this to your political opponents about their fellow party member. Like, I think the guy is such a dope. Just that part of it alone is enough to disqualify him, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I mean, the judgment.
Right. Yeah, he is a colossally stupid person, for sure. For sure. That should be disqualifying in and of itself. The idea of it, like, it's a private conversation, therefore it doesn't matter. Like, okay, so what is the October surprise tape from 2016 about Trump? Grab him by the you-know-what. Yeah. Nobody on the left is allowed to talk about that ever again because that was a private conversation. Is that that's the stance that we're taking here?
That works. I like it. Let's go with it. Let's run with that. Well, here they are in CNN.
I would like to stop hearing about that tape, so okay, sure.
You'll never stop hearing about it. Or the other Apprentice tape that never emerged with him saying the N-word that we've heard
about.
Oh,
the one that doesn't exist. Yeah, I heard a lot about that one.
So set up this clip for us. This is Cut 25. CNN hosts are finally pressuring Democrats about Jay Jones's comments, and it's not going well. So who are some of the people we're going to see in this clip, Bill?
Yeah, so it's just one clip, but it's a really fun Democrat. It's Nancy Pelosi, who is very not used to getting hardball questions from the press or even uncomfortable questions from the press. There was that famous time when Wolf Blitzer asked her something kind of tough and she blew up at him and basically said, "What do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
Aren't you on
you're
my side,
nice
Bill? You know?"
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So she doesn't give us any of that, unfortunately, but it's she's not great. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Cut 25.
There is a Democrat running for attorney general who's embroiled in a scandal over text messages in which he, the Democrat, said that the GOP speaker of the House of Delegates should get two bullets to the head for how he paid tribute to a former moderate Democratic lawmaker who died. He has apologized. Should he get out of the race?
Well, that's up to the people, the leaders in Virginia. They have said he has apologized. What I understand is they say that on balance he's a better person to be attorney general, but that's up to them. But I wish there would be enough fuss of all the times that people have said they were going to put a bullet in my head right in public.
What?
In the public domain.
I think
domain.
It's because of that. That's one of the reasons I wanted to ask you that. You are somebody who knows all too well in a horrific way.
We have to get rid of that kind of language. I mean, it's just not appropriate.
If you were Abigail Spanberger, who's the Democrat running for governor, would you call on him to step aside?
But she has to do what she has to do. She's going to be governor. She's running very well. Everybody's very proud of her candidacy. And her race is her race, and her state is her state, and it's up to her. I really don't get involved in other people's races, that the mayor of New York, that this, of that. It's up to the people in that state, and I respect their judgment and wish them well. And she and Mikey Sherrill will both be new women governors, and I'm very excited about that.
So is she denouncing what he said or not denouncing what he said? I'm kind of confused.
No, she's not. She's not. She's just not getting involved. And I love the sandwich there of opinions that she shares, right? She says, "Well, look, you know, I don't really know anything about that. They seem to think he's good for the job, so you know, whatever." And then she goes, "Oh yeah, we need to get that violent language out of politics. Absolutely. But also, you know, I don't care if he drops out or not, whatever. It's not my place to say." I was like, okay, so we need to get that violent language out of politics. When it's about your team, I guess, not when it's about Republicans, because this is a guy seeking elected office who is using that kind of violent language. Also, yeah, what is this about people talking about shooting Nancy Pelosi in public? I mean, citation needed.
Bill D'Agostino, I've never heard that before.
Right. And I feel like if that had happened, I would know about it because I spend all of my time watching corporate lib media. Right. And that would be their favorite story.
Yeah.
If that had happened once, we'd still be hearing about it. Like, they'd be talking about it right now. Heck, Dana Bash would have brought it up to her.
Sure. She would have played the clip of it. She would have.
Right.
If they had any or a text message or anything like that. We know what happened to her husband, but that still wasn't somebody trying to kill her. But then she goes, "Well, you of all people should know, or whatever she said. And then Pelosi's like, ar, ar, and then just tries to change the subject. And then says she's got to do what she's got to do. But, you know, I mean, it's just convenient, I guess, more than anything else. And she's wrong about Mikey Sherrill, because I think Mikey Sherrill is going to lose in New Jersey. But I guess that's neither here nor there for this purpose of the clip. Here's a, you got a flashback to Chuck Schumer. So today is day number 8, sixth time now they voted to not open the government. You have Chuck Todd hosting a professor named Mark Bray. Who is Mark Bray?
Mark Bray wrote the anti-fascist handbook. He is the Rutgers professor who went on like a little bit of a media blitz right after that, like Charlottesville rally in 2017, basically trying to sanitize Antifa. But also being weirdly honest about some of their tactics, like admitting that they are violent. But Mark Bray is also one of like the chief people who is out there saying like Antifa is not a group. It's not an organization. You're not allowed to go after us. But here are some things that we do. And it's like, oh, we as in what? Like not a group. We just all random individuals and ideas doing things. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. But then again, I mean, look, logical consistency isn't really the guy's strong point. He's a Rutgers professor. So
does he outline violence in terms of violence for political activism?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it basically he says, look, like when he takes the argument to its logical conclusion, he says, look, when you're up against literally Hitler, when you're actually up against fascists, what are you going to do? Like scold them, censure them in Congress? No, you have to fight fire with fire is what he says.
Now, thinking of that, and if you're making the Hitler comparison and the fascist comparison, this is the problem that we've been saying, is that there are people that say you're right because you can't deal with them in a sane way. You've got to take violent steps. You've got to take violent measures. Then when somebody tries to kill President Trump or tries to or does successfully kill Charlie Kirk, you understand what the thinking is behind that. And we don't know for sure because we don't know the motivation of Thomas Crooks and we don't know that yet the motivation of the shooter. But I think, you know, the fact that he wrote, allegedly at least, is believed to have written, you know, Fascist Catch and then that song that was the Antifa.
Bella Chow, yeah.
Right. Kind of gives you an indication of that. And that's the
and
part
I mean
of this.
everything that his parents were saying about how he'd kind of trended toward radical left wing politics in recent years. He was dating some trans guy, which tends to be that tends to be a community with let's say a hotbed of political activism, to put it mildly. So yeah, I mean, all the signs point in one direction.
Yeah,
right?
It's like it's one thing for you know debate club to get a little heated. It's another thing when you start going after people and saying you're the next Adolf Hitler and you're a fascist and everything else. So some interesting things here. You've got from MSNBC released their or now MS Now, I guess. Have they officially changed over? Released their list of core principles as the rebrand gets rolling. We'll get into that next. I'm sorry. Cut 26. I said Chuck Schumer. It's Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd, Professor Chuck Todd hosting Professor Mark Bray, who's since fled the country, and MSNBC, which is now MS Now. All right, so cut 26.
Speaking of that fight, let's go to that issue there. Mark Bray, you are writing this book, Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook. Explain this movement and its roots.
Right. Right. So anti-fascism goes back to the beginning of the 20th century when leftists of all stripes fought back against Mussolini and Hitler. Most people think of Nazism as something that died with World War II, but it really rebranded itself, grew again in a lot of European countries, in the United States. And so the modern Antifa movement grows out of the 70s and 80s in Great Britain and Germany when a lot of immigrants, when a lot of leftists, punk rockers had to physically defend themselves from neo-Nazi attacks, predominantly through skinheads. And that's where it grew, and that's where we can trace its lineage from today. The main perspective of Antifa is essentially that rather than simply waiting for the threat to materialize, you stop it from the beginning. You say no platform for fascism, and that's what we're seeing with the attempts in Charlottesville and elsewhere.
I'm curious, first of all, are you an advocate of this sort of confrontation?
Yes, I am. Yes.
What do you say to those that are concerned that, hey, you're allowing these white supremacists to claim victimhood here. What do you say to that criticism, since the president is trying to essentially create a false equivalency here?
So, Bill D'Agostino, Media Research Center, on X at @band_Bill. The fact that you bring on a professor who advocates for violence in the name of political activism, and then you give him legitimacy. I mean, there are certain people who, because of some of the things they say on social media, can't ever get on certain networks, period, ever. Right. But this is even a step further than that. I mean, here's a guy advocating and telling people to go commit violence in the name of political activism to stop the fascists and to stop the Nazis, et cetera, et cetera. And they give him a platform on what, at the time at least, was a pretty mainstream show.
Yeah, well, I'll do you one better. Chuck Todd liked him so much that that weekend he had him on Meet the Press, like the NBC
Sunday
show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he basically, that was basically his interview for Meet the Press, right? That was his tryout.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd was so taken with what he had to say there that he brought him on to debate with, I think it was Norm Eisen, who was like, you know, it's bad when Norm Eisen is the voice of reason in the debate saying like, hey, this is too far left. You're crazy. But that's what was going on there on Meet the Press. And then recently what's happened is Mark Bray has become fearful for his life, apparently, because Trump has determined that Antifa are in fact a terrorist organization. And he is so sure that they are not that he has fled the country. And there was this wimpy little, what is his name? David Gilbert, this Wired writer, is just devastated over this. And he's written this ridiculous sob story, sympathetic piece about Mark Bray, where one of the death threats that Mark Bray claims to have received is a tweet from Jack Posobiec, if you're familiar with him, where Jack Posobiec says that Mark Bray is pro-terrorism. That's a death threat, apparently, according to Mark Bray. But of course, advocating for actual violence is in no way terroristic. So, I mean, this is the kind of twisted ideology they have.
Well, let me just hold that point for a second. And this is the problem, right? Because if it's not terrorism, because it's justified because these people are Nazis and fascists, then people think they're on the right side. They're on the side of good. They're on the side of might. They're on the side of right. They're on the side of history. As I mean, I've said this before. If I could go back in time and kill Hitler, I would, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's the question of that. So to say, oh, no, it's not terrorism because you're stopping the next Hitler, you're stopping fascism, it's actually justified. It's a moral imperative.
You know what? All right, so Media Matters or whoever, get your little out-of-context clippers ready because you're going to like this one. I feel like there's a more peaceful way to solve things than going back in time and killing Hitler. I would not go back in time and kill Hitler. I'd go further back and follow his dad around, and just every time that he's talking to a woman, just run up to him and slap him across the face and say, like, oh, what, you like women now? And they just, you know, just he never gets to meet a woman. He never gets to settle down. Boom, no Hitler. Easy. And you don't have to kill anyone.
Nobody has to die. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Or you can go back and renegotiate the Treaty of Versailles, or just make sure World War I doesn't happen and you don't get Hitler. You could try that too.
Yeah, so many things you could do other than killing a baby in the cradle, which is that's always the. But, you know, that kind of highlights the whole point of call, like how dangerous it is to call somebody Hitler, because that's
right.
I think that if you asked any like standard, like just random person on the street, right, like killing a baby, probably wrong, right? I think generally you'll get a no for that one. But like the famous popular thought experiment is, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler? Because this thing that is usually so reprehensible and unthinkable is now suddenly a debatably acceptable thing to do because of all the awful things that it would prevent, right? So if this guy is so evil that it justifies the murder of, at the time, an innocent baby, then you probably shouldn't be comparing your political opponents to that. And you probably shouldn't have an entire television network where that's basically the standard of political analysis, is everybody we disagree with is that guy, right? That is borderline incitement.
I mean, they even had to cut it out of the post credits in Deadpool 2 because it was so controversial to even just have him at the nursery. I mean, it was hysterical, the scene. I think they should have left it in there, but they cut it out of it. They cut it out of the movie. But yeah, no, look, I mean, it's we get the point, and it's why it's a philosophical debate. And because it's so evil that you would even contemplate doing it when you would never, ever contemplate, if you're a normal person, killing a baby. Unless you're Planned Parenthood, obviously. But all right, so
different discussion.
It's a different discussion for another day. And I think this is also, as the president right now is having his roundtable on fascism, Antifa, and Antifa right now at the White House, the question becomes, who's funding these people? I mean, where are they getting their money from? I can't imagine these are people that work a job and then go out and, well, I'm going to go now throw some Molotov cocktails. It's obviously a very organized effort. And that's one of the things the president mentioned today, Bill, was we got to figure out the financing and the funding of this group.
I mean, unfortunately, you and I are funding some of it with our tax dollars.
How so?
There are NGOs that a lot of this money gets laundered through. And yeah, we slashed USAID, but that's not the end of it, right? I mean, there are still like thousands and thousands of government grants going out for all sorts of insane things. And there's a lot of grants that go out under these innocuous names like promoting promoting community organizing or funding for community activism, stuff like that, that ends up in the hands of some of these Antifa cells.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look, if they're getting government money, I feel like at that point you've kind of relinquished your right to argue that they're not in some way a group, right? But that also does sort of highlight the comical nature of what the executive branch of government has become, right? I mean, this lumbering behemoth where the guy at the very top of it is labeling this group of people, this group of political activists, as domestic terrorists. And then at the same time, that same branch of government is funding some of these groups of domestic terrorists, right? I mean, it's an argument for some Doge-like endeavor to happen again. I'll put it that way.
Well, since the government shut down, why don't we do it now? I mean, that would be a great thing, Bill, if during this government shutdown, we actually result, if at the end of it, it's less government and not more of the same, that would be amazing. But we go through this exercise, and then they reopen. Everybody winds up getting their back pay, and we act like nothing happened. I think a lot of the federal workers know that they're going to wind up getting back pay. So this is just basically paid time off. I mean, let's be honest. They've already talked about how they're going to give back pay.
Yeah.
So
if you're not paycheck to paycheck, right? If you don't have to move a bunch of money around and you can like subsist off of what you've got squirreled away, then yeah, you're basically just on vacation right now. If you're on leave from the government shutdown.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound callous about it, but it's because if you are waiting for payday and you got bills, I mean, that's tough, and I'm not advocating payday loans or anything, but at the same time, that's kind of the joke of it, though, is that we know that eventually it reopens, you get your back pay, and then you got to pay whoever back you borrowed the money from, and it's the same thing.
Right. It's going to cost you a VIG at worst, right?
You get the VIG. You got to pay the VIG. And I don't even know if they give back pay plus VIG. I'm not sure about that.
Maybe they do.
That's what we would suggest then for them. Get back pay plus VIG. Speaking of people using Nazi, I played this clip earlier, but I want to replay it for you, Bill D'Agostino. Mm-hmm. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, using the N-word here again. This is cut number 4.
What we're talking about is authoritarianism. We could have talked about Pol Pot. We could have talked about authoritarians across history. I chose something I know very well. I helped to build a Holocaust museum. And what I know is in the early days of the Nazi regime, they started slowly but surely taking away people's rights. And what we're seeing now is the very same thing. They've gone into cities now with the military. Think about that. In your lifetime, have you ever seen anything like that, where the president of the United States is sending military or troops dressed as military, ICE and CBP, in camouflage with automatic weapons into our major cities? It's wrong. And indeed, especially at a time when it's the president of the United States who's causing the mayhem on the ground. We've actually done very well in Chicago, bringing down crime, addressing the needs of victims.
The early days of the Nazi regime, Bill. So if you want to stop it, now's probably your time. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Because eventually
exactly.
The regime gets too powerful and it's unstoppable.
Right. And so what exactly is he implying needs to be done here? Right. I mean, does the head need to be cut off of the Hydra, Pritzker? Because I'm pretty sure your team already tried that twice, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we're apparently already spoiling for another one over in Chicago. Okay. That's remarkable. And this is why whenever somebody on the news mentions something about turning the temperature down, don't tell me to turn the temperature down. Right. I mean, we have governors calling Trump Hitler. Right. We have governors saying that we are spiraling towards Nazi Germany, that this is the not even slow, fast march of fascism. Right. And so what are you then proposing? Like, therefore, what? I wish that anybody interviewing this would say that. OK, so then what if this is actually fascism? If Trump is literally Hitler, what do you propose be done? Be specific, be incredibly specific, Governor.
I think somebody who is inclined for violence or feels like a loser and wants to go down in history is doing something profound with their life, thinks I have to stop this guy. I have to stop this before it's too late. And that's the problem with this rhetoric.
With the blessing of the governor of Illinois, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way around it. And if I'm a little bit off my rocker, I can make a credible case as to why what I'm doing is the morally justifiable thing to do. And that's the problem here, is that I've never fallen for those people that have said that we got to. Going back, 10 years ago when people used to talk about turning down the temperature of our rhetoric because it got politically heated and everything, I said, well, come on, go back to the founding of this country. And they used to argue with each other and they used to do all these things. But this is such a different place now, where it's one thing to stand up and scream at your opponents and call Barack Obama a liar. I mean, like, do you remember the time that Republican did that in the middle of his State of the Union address?
Yeah.
And everybody acted like it was the end of the Republic itself. And we have unleashed something now when he just said, you lie. And, and here we are calling the president of the United States of America. We're saying that this is the early days of the Nazi regime. Man,
I'm saying it repeatedly. Like, it would be impossible to make a compilation of every time they've done it. Right. It would be longer than a feature length movie.
I would challenge you. Yeah. We would never hear from you again. You'd be still in the archives right now, just searching and cutting and pasting.
You'd have a side shot of me, and I'd just be working on my. I'd be like a live streamer, right? And I'd just be like, "Yeah, hold on, Rich. I gotta clip this real quick."
Well, credit to you for making a Marvel reference with Hydra. Well done. Cut off one head, and how many others appear? I forget.
At least two.
Excellent work. We gave two Marvel references today, from Captain America and also from Deadpool. All right, Bill, have a great rest of your day. Follow Bill on X at @band_Bill. Support the work of the Media Research Center and check out newsbusters.org for all their great clips and compilations, and follow them on all their socials as well. Talk to you next week, brother.
Sounds good. Take it easy, man.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Zeoli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Okay, let's talk about your health. Let's say you need to undergo complex dental surgery. I'm talking the whole nine yards, implants, crowns, etc. You're going to go to just any old pop-up dental chain out there, or are you going to go to the best of the best? You're going to go to my guy, Dr. Mike Veneria. Of course you're going to go to Dr. Mike Veneria. He's the man. He's the guy. He's the one you want to see for your smile. I'm telling you right now, Dr. Mike is a fantastic guy and a great dentist. Last year, when my wife needed to get her veneers replaced, beautiful caps, and her smile has never looked better. So I trust Dr. Mike with all my family members, and you can too. And for 12 years in a row, 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike is the dentist that other dentists send their patients to. That is Dr. Mike Veneria. That so the experts send their patients to Dr. Mike, knowing that it's their name on the line, their reputation on the line. When a doctor refers another doctor to a patient, a dentist refers another dentist to a patient, it's their name on the line, right? So you understand why Dr. Mike Veneria is so well regarded by his peers. Now, with an office in Cinnaminson and an office in Woodbury, New Jersey, right over the bridge, it's easy to get to see him. The perfect smile you deserve. Just go to VeneriaDental.com, VanariaDental.com, VanariaDental.com, and stop putting it off. You deserve a beautiful smile. You get a free implant consultation with Dr. Mike, and you will have a wonderful experience. I would love for you to reach out to him today. Great conversationalist, great music in the office, great people who work there, both locations, wonderful people. That's what you get with Dr. Mike Veneria, VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are going to jump back into the president taking questions from the press corps at the White House right now on a variety of issues. I want to give you the opportunity to hear that because, as Caitlin Collins said, he is the most accessible president in history. And before I do that, though, I just wanted to share with you a Truth Social post that he put out just a few moments ago. Congressman Jeff Van Drew is a MAGA warrior for the incredible people of New Jersey's 2nd Congressional District. As the chairman of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Oversight, Jeff is doing a tremendous job advancing our America First agenda. He is working tirelessly to grow our economy, cut taxes and regulations, help secure our already secure border, stop migrant crime, murderers and other criminals from illegally entering our country, strengthen our military and veterans, champion American energy dominance, and defend our always under siege Second Amendment. Jeff Van Drew is a very good friend, fighter and winner, and has my complete and total endorsement for re-election. He will never let you down. Jeff Van Drew will be with us Friday in Wildwood for our rally. So make sure you come out and join us. Go to 1210WPHD.com and register and sign up. All right, let's jump into the White House. Go ahead.
Rubio, Marco, come on up here, please. He's going to bring a little stability to this group.
Oh, I thought he was going to call him Little Marco.
Does everybody know Marco Rubio? Is there anybody that doesn't? Some of the reporters don't. That's why they shouldn't be reporters.
Which job is he here for today,
sir? Come on up here, Marco. Anything we should know about the Middle East?
That's what we're hoping to talk to you about here, Mr. President.
He's doing a good job. He was born for this job, I can tell you. Daniel, please.
President, thank you very much. I have two questions for you, if that's okay. Seamus talked a little bit about the money aspect of this. Do you believe if you go after where the money is coming from with Antifa, in regards to Antifa, do you believe that would be similar to cutting the head off the snake, so to speak?
And it would help. I don't know that it would be totally complete, but it would certainly... you'd knock out 75%, 80%, 85%. These people, a lot of them don't believe it. You know, when they, I watch them, and I say, I can almost tell a pro by, they're like professionals. That's all they do. And they get paid by somebody. I think it would knock out a lot of it. Yeah, not all of it, maybe, but a lot of it.
A lot of the people who we've listened to over the last hour, they've emphasized that Antifa, it's not necessarily this big organized thing. It's a bit ambiguous. It's deorganized. I think that's one of the words that Andy used. What is the challenges of going after a group that makes it intentionally difficult to go after and find? That could be for you, the Attorney General, anyone up there.
Well, they're smart people, and they deceive. A lot of them are crooked people. A lot of them have been staying out of trouble their whole lives, and they've been bad from the day they were born, frankly. But these are sick people. Pam, go ahead, please.
Well, they're smart, but they're not smart enough. My microphone's broken. They're smart, but they're not smart enough. They have been covered by these liberal cities for so many years. And that's why we're all working with Treasury, with all these different departments, to find the criminal conspiracy.
Okay. I'm just giving... Yeah, I was just given a note by the Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East, and they're going to need me pretty quickly, so I will take a couple of more questions.
Thank you, sir. I also have two questions for you, if I may. Have you given any more thought to possibly suspending habeas corpus to not only deal with these insurrectionists across the nation, but also to continue rapidly deporting illegal aliens.
Yeah, it's suspending who?
Habeas corpus. So, oh,
I don't know. I'd rather leave that to Christie. What do you think?
No, sir, I haven't been a part of any discussions on that.
All right. Go ahead.
In the ceasefire.
This is CNN speaking, by the way. So,
are you?
You know, this is one of the worst reporters that you'll ever see. I don't even want to take a question. It's a waste of time. Go ahead.
You decide which workers get back pay and which workers do not?
Well, we're going to see. Most of them are going to get back pay, and we're going to try and make sure of that. But some of them are being hurt very badly by the Democrats, and they therefore won't qualify. Go ahead, please.
What will the administration do to foreign and people organizers and funders who are located overseas?
Go ahead. In the yellow, please.
So the Nobel Peace Prize will be announced on Friday. You've been nominated by many world...
By many, many countries, that's
many
right.
countries, as well as the hostage families. Do you think you will win?
I have no idea. I mean, look, I did settle. Marco would tell you we settled seven wars. We're close to settling an eighth. And I think we'll end up settling the Russia situation, which is horrible. 7,000 people died last week, by the way, in Russia, between Russia and Ukraine. I think we'll settle that. So I don't think anybody in history has settled that many, but perhaps they'll find a reason not to give it to me, you know? Perhaps they will. Thank you.
Going to the shutdown quickly, what is your position on the extension of health care subsidies, which is what Democrats are asking for?
Well, all I want to do is very simple. I want to get the country open, and then we're going to discuss that. And we'd like to... Obamacare is a horrible mess, and it has been from the beginning. We want to make it better, stronger, even if it costs more money. We want to make it better. The Democrats want to make it worse. The Democrats want to approve health care for illegals coming into our country, many of them coming in from prisons and mental institutions and drug dealers. They want to give them health care. We don't want that for our people, because that's going to destroy the health care that we already have. We'd like to make Obamacare better, better for people, less expensive, and better health care. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. President,
I'm wondering if you've been briefed on the organization and funding of Antifa, and if so, what have you learned?
I have been, and they have pretty good knowledge, but they're going to have a very good knowledge. And I really ask these very brave patriots that we're surrounded with today to let us know, because I think you probably have some pretty good ideas. And even if you're not sure, let us know, and we'll figure it out, okay, if you could do that. You're from Italy?
No, I'm from France. Can you specify how close we are to the deal? Would that be announced today, tomorrow? And do you want to see the hostages released before you travel to the region?
No, I think I'll probably go maybe before the hostages are released, or shortly thereafter, pretty much shortly thereafter. Yeah, please. Go ahead. Who are you with? Who are you with?
The Center Square. I had the honor of asking you originally if you would designate Antifa a terror organization. And I stand here before you today, and I'm echoing what Andy said over here. Are you going to work with your administration, as the Secretary of State's here, are you going to work with your administration to designate it a foreign terror organization?
You mean it a terror?
Antifa?
Antifa?
A foreign terror organization.
Well, has that been done? Pretty close, right? Would you like to see it done?
Yes, Mr. President.
You think it would help?
They have foreign links.
I'd be glad
all
to do it.
Western
I think it's
Europe.
The kind of thing I'd like to do. If you'd like, does
Middle
everybody
East.
Agree? If you agree, I agree. Let's get it done. Okay, let's get it done. Marco, we'll take care of it.
Mr. President.
That's international, you mean?
Yes.
International.
Mr. President.
Sounds good to me.
Foreign terror organization.
Steve, are you okay with it?
Yes, it's true. There are extensive foreign ties, and I think that would be a very valid step to take.
Good, I think so too.
Yes.
Good. I think it's a good point. Thank you.
On the shutdown, we are now about 1 week away from military service members missing their paychecks.
We'll always take care of our military.
Would you encourage Congress to pass a standalone bill to pay our service members?
Yeah, that probably will happen. We don't have to worry about it yet. That's a long time. You know what 1 week is for me? An eternity. 1 week for me is a long time. We'll take care of it. Our military is always going to be taken care of.
President.
Yeah, please. Blue dress. Blue.
Thank you, Mr. President.
President. Rebecca with Blaze News. I'm curious to know, so you're talking about the money funding these Antifa organizations, and somebody brought up Roy Singham, I think it was you, who, by the way, is married to one of the co-founders of Code Pink, this infamous left-wing organization. I'm curious to know the administration.
Who is that? Who is that?
Roy Singham. He's married to...
No, did you say they're here?
No, he's not. A journalist brought him up. But
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jameis, thank you.
Good. Good. Good bring up.
You know, excellent.
Go ahead.
He's somebody who's been reported on extensively, and I'd love to know what the administration is going to do to actually bring consequences to some of these names you mentioned.
Well, I don't know the name, but I would like to ask Pam to take a look at it. You know, a lot of the best information we find are through you and other people like you, so I'd like you to look at it, Pam. In the back, please.
Actually very compelling proof that Antifa did infiltrate on January 6th, dressed up like Trump supporters and incited violence. Is that something that you would want the new J6 committee at Congress to look into?
Well, I've heard that. They dress up like, you know, they're fresh out of MAGA, but they have nothing to do with MAGA. And they make trouble and they try and blame it. And, yeah, we know some of that and we will be acting on some of that. We've seen it. We've seen it. So I think... you could stay a little longer, but, you know, the problem is, although you have some very honest journalists in here, you also have some mostly, largely dishonest journalists like MSDNC and CNN. I think they're very dishonest, unbelievably, like a waste of time even talking to them. But I have to go now to try and solve some problems in the Middle East, although I'm very well represented by our Secretary of State. He could probably do an even better job than me. But who knows? We don't want to take any chances. So we're going to go and do that. If you'd like, Pam, would you like to stay for another 5 minutes, 10 minutes while we have all these great people? And I'll let Pam and Christy take over. And
all right, listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll jump out of this, and that's the breaking news is that they're very close to the peace deal with Israel. Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff were sent there today, and they are close to making an announcement on that. So that's some good news. We could have that war come to an end if that's the case. We'll find out. Maybe it'll happen before the show ends today at 7 o'clock. But as far as the government shutdown, that's continuing. That's going. And that is something that does not seem to be the end in sight here. So Democrats are owning this one, no doubt about it. And I don't think they're going to bend on this, not anytime soon anyway. But I will tell you that Kamala Harris has another crazy clip, this time at Los Angeles event. I mean, I don't think her book's going well. That's my sense of it. I don't think her book is going particularly well. So at the Getty Center, she talked about the political moment with a broader scale of history and then throwing out a word salad here, which Matt DeSantis had to bleep. Now, Matt, have you had to bleep a lot of Kamala Harris in the past? Or is she getting worse?
I don't think so. No, I was actually wondering that myself, and I couldn't think of an example where I had to censor the vice president of your former vice president of the United States. I think this might be a first for her.
Yeah, I'm wondering if she's actually spiraling even further, because that's what happens to people sometimes, you know? And then it's only a matter of time until they just keep going and going and going until, you know, rock bottom.
I think that this is my theory, my hypothesis. I don't think that the audience was reacting all that well to what she was saying leading up to this moment. So she dropped the big curse word in order to get the audience involved and back on her side, because they start laughing and erupt in applause after she drops her big line.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. All right. That's a very valid take on that. All right. Let's take a listen here. Cut number six, please.
Because there's so much about this moment that is trying to make people feel like they've lost their mind. When in fact, these motherfuckers.
Yeah. That would be a word salad with. You ever order a salad and you get a protein on top? Steak, chicken, shrimp, salmon? You got to pay extra for it, you know, Matt? That's what that kind of reminds me of right there. The MF-er is the protein on top of the salad for an extra $12. Or I had lunch today with Greg Stocker, and he got shrimp and steak, and I think his salad came out to be $48. Mother effer. So that would be a double protein right there, topped on the salad. Wow. Still doesn't beat the censorship you had to do of Trump da dum dum dump, but it was close. Because that was a quick hit, so you had to bleep that.
That was easy work. Yeah, Trump da dum dum dump guy. That he still has the record. That clip maybe was 90 seconds, if I remember correctly, and I think he cursed 30 times in that 90 seconds.
That guy was the man. I'm telling you, he was the man. I miss that guy. I really do. I miss him.
He was fun.
Do we have the trailer for Task still queued up from yesterday by chance?
I can grab it real quick.
All right, let's grab it. I'm curious if you guys, we'll see. I don't know how much of the Delco accent will be present in it, but we'll find out. The other thing I wanted to mention is, and there's a lot going on here today. It's kind of a jump ball in terms of everything that's happening, but RFK Jr. is also looking to... Oh, we have a clip of his wife, Cheryl Hines. We're going to get on that. But this is pretty amazing here. Amazon Prime has taken all the guns out of James Bond, all the posters and movie posters, all the artwork for the James Bond films, gone. The streaming giant acquired the rights to the entire Bond franchise earlier this year, took all the guns out. Amazon Prime Video backtracking after fan outrage erupted. And I guess the backtrack, because what they did was they took Sean Connery, of course, the OG, I mean, the best, Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, Daniel Craig. But rather than holding guns in the images, all of them just stand there, awkward and empty-handed. The company's revised artwork now features images from the movies themselves, though none of the promotional images show 007 with a weapon. But they just kind of stand there. In posters for Connery's Dr. No and Brosnan's GoldenEye, the guns were edited out of the original images and replaced with nothing. In Roger Moore's A View to a Kill and Daniel Craig's Spectre, the images were altered and cropped to remove the weapons. The backlash began on October 5th, which is known as James Bond Day, when UK fans, it wasn't even us, it was the UK where they didn't even have freaking guns, noticed the blatant photo manipulations. And they were not happy with it. They said they photoshopped all the guns out of the James Bond movie thumbnails just in case you had hope for Amazon being in charge of the franchise. Amazon has removed the guns from their Bond posters, giving the tantalizing impression that Sean Connery and Pierce Brosnan think you're a wanker, said British actor Rufus Jones, echoing what many others were saying. I feel my testosterone levels dropping just looking at these. When are they giving the characters on the posters purple hair and a mask? Another commented. Amazon acquired the rights to the Bond franchise in 2022. And they're committed to honoring the legacy of James Bond. But when they took over the franchise from the family of the Broccoli family, people were very concerned that Amazon would squander it, ruin James Bond's legacy. Obviously, the highest grossing movie franchise of all time, earning more than $7 billion at the box office since Sean Connery first took on the role of Dr. No in 1962. The last film in the franchise with Daniel Craig, No Time to Die, premiered in 2021. There are no known Bond movies in the works, though they do say he is coming back. But I don't know if he'll be gunless in the next iteration. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. For 12 years in a row, Dr. Mike has been recognized by his peers as a master of complex dentistry. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. Big fourth and final hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.